You're tuned in to La Onda Bajita. This is Tara and La Brava on the Tierra Alerta, giving you the up-to-date information on all that is threatening our Mother Earth from the Bay Area and around the world. Tonight, we have with us on the line Dr. Ulay Kumar. He is the coordinator for the People's Movement Against Nuclear Energy, and he joins us on the line from India. He's been very involved in the movement to stop the Kudankulam nuclear power project. People living around the proposed project have launched massive protests. This includes over 300 people on hunger strikes. 60 villages oppose the project. And we're delighted to have with us tonight Dr. Ulay Kumar. Thank you so much for joining us on La Onda Bajita.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Tell us about the proposed nuclear power plant and why people are protesting.
Well, this is a Russian-supported power project, which was begun in 1988 without conducting any public hearing among the people or sharing any documents about the project with the local people. So the local people, mostly fishermen and farmers and workers, do not really understand what they are building in their neighborhood. So without giving any kind of information, without getting their consent, this project is being imposed on the people by the central government of India and the Department of Atomic Energy with the help of the Russian company called Atomstroy Export. So now that people realize what is a nuclear power plant all about after the Fukushima accident, people take to the street and they demand that the project be scrapped because it was established without the people's consent. That is what is going on right now.
And tell us a little bit about the types of protests. I've been hearing that there have been huge, 60 villages opposing the project, hundreds of people on hunger strike, and then a lot of police brutalization.
Right. The protest has been going on for a long time, for almost 15 years now, ever since 1992, I think, the project was shelved first when the Soviet Union collapsed and Indian Prime Minister Rajiv Gandhi was killed. And then the project was restarted, and ever since people have been opposing it. Now, after Fukushima, the momentum has gained, the movement has gained a lot more momentum, and people are completely nonviolent. Most of the time, people go on hunger strike and processions to nearby villages and staging demonstrations, agitations, and so forth. There has not been any violence on the part of the people. So it's completely nonviolent and mostly led by women. It's a mass struggle which has been unheard of in this part of the country.
And why are the women leading the movement?
Because the women understand the impact of nuclear power plant a lot better than men. First of all, people didn't really understood much about nuclear power plant and its impact. And then when we did all this work, that how women stand to be more vulnerable than men, how children will be more affected than men, and how the natural resources will be affected, and the long-term cumulative effect of nuclear power plant on the living resources, the unborn generations. Women took it more seriously, and they are the ones who are very stubborn that the plant should be completely scrapped. So, they seem to understand the issues better, and women are also more nonviolent than men. Women also are courageous to face the police brutality rather than men, because men easily get into fist fights and confrontation mode with the police. But women tend to be a lot more resilient and stubborn. So that is the reason.
And Dr. Ulay Kumar, How have the police reacted to these nonviolent protests launched by women?
Well, police have been rather, police were rather cooperative when the state government was expressing its support for our struggle. And once they changed their stand on March 19th this year, the attitude of the police changed drastically. They have been very uncooperative. They have been very brutal. There have been lots of arbitrary arrests, detention.
How many people have been arrested approximately?
Almost 200 people were arrested on March 19th. And then following our hunger strike for almost 9 days, the police came to talk to us, and they agreed to release most of them on bail. And there are two of them still in prison even now. And they've been foisting false cases on all of us, and cases of very serious nature, such as sedition, waging war on the Indian state, and so on and so forth. So the police have been very uncooperative and even very brutal, beating up people on the street, and things of that sort are happening.
And in terms of the timeline for the nuclear power project, where is it at in terms of the development?
I'm sorry, I didn't quite catch your question.
With the nuclear power project, is it up and run? Is it up and running? What is actually happening with it, and what are people calling to have occur?
Okay, it's not up and running. Actually, they have been building it since 1988, and it's like almost a quarter century now.
And why is it taking so long to build?
I have no idea. One reason they say is that the non-sequential delivery of spares from Russia. Mm-hmm. So they are not sending their equipment, the spares, in a sequential manner. That is one reason, and also. You know, this has been the track record of the Department of Atomic Energy here in India. They take their sweet time because it's completely state-funded. It's public money. There is no urgency. They don't have to answer anyone. So they just simply sit there and keep eating the public money. It's a complete waste. So we have no idea why it has taken almost quarter century to build this. And even now, after our struggle started last September, and then we were put down in March brutally. They have been saying that the plant will be up and running in 10 days, in 20 days, 40 days, and 2 months have gone by. There doesn't seem to be anything happening anytime soon.
So it could start at any time. It could be months. It could be years. And what you said that the position of the state government changed drastically in the last few months.
Right. They say that, the state government has become a lot more friendly with the central government. They have been cooperating with each other. And the authorities here say that they are going to load the fuel in a few days. And as soon as they do that, they will be able to commission the project. But what we are saying is, before you load the fuel rods, you are supposed to prepare the local population for any potential dangers, accidents. That is an international norm. You need to educate the people about the dangers involved in the nuclear power plant, give them disaster training, disaster management training, and evacuation exercise. In case something happened, people should know where to flee and how to flee and all those details. But the authorities are very scared of doing that because they think that there will be a backlash against them. So they try to avoid it. And we insist that they do it before they open the project, they commission the project. So that's where we are at. We have approached the courts to instruct the planned authorities to do all these preparatory works before they commission the project. So, you know, we are waiting.
We're talking with Dr. Ulaya Kumar. He's the coordinator for the People's Movement Against Nuclear Energy. You're tuned into the Tierra Alerta, La Onda Bajita. I'm Tara with La Brava. We're going to be back with more on this after a short music break. You're listening to La Onda Bajita on KPFA. This is the Tierra Alerta, cruising with you through Aztlan tonight. I am Tara here with La Brava, and we have with us on the line from India, Dr. Udaya Kumar. He's the coordinator for the People's Movement Against Nuclear Energy, and he's telling us about this nuclear power plant, the Kulan Kulam, that is poised to open any time in India amidst massive protests. And Dr. Uday Kumar, for our listening audience, can you tell us a little bit about where this power plant is being built? Is it a rural area? Is it, you know, give us a taste of sort of the landscape and the type of communities that will be affected by the operations of this plant if it opens as planned.
Well, the plant is constructed very near the southernmost tip of India on the eastern coast of India. So it's right on the seashore, very close to Sri Lanka. And it is in a rural area surrounded by tens of coastal and farming villages. So people in this area engage in fishing and farming. And this is a highly populated part of the country, very densely populated. Most of the people don't speak English, and hence the English reports don't mean anything to anybody here. And the government does not even release even the English reports. So people here have absolutely no idea what is happening in their neighborhood. So that is the concern that we have. If you are building a nuclear power plant, follow the procedure. You have to share the environmental impact assessment report with the people in the local language. You have to share a copy of the site evaluation study, that report that discusses the pluses and minuses of the site. What are the merits and demerits? What are the advantages and disadvantages? They haven't shared that report with anybody, with the people or the press or the people's representatives. We are also demanding a copy of the safety analysis report. So the government is not disclosing any of this basic information to the people or to the press or with the people's representatives. And when you set up a power plant of this size and stature in a highly populated area without getting the taking the people into confidence, that spells disaster. This is an imported reactor. It's a huge reactor. This is the biggest reactor in the whole country, producing 1,000 megawatts power, two of them. And so we are saying that, look, this is the largest power plant in the country. This is the most imported reactor area in the country. This is the Russian technology. This is the first light water reactor in the country. This is situated in a highly populated area where people don't understand the intricacies of modern science. So prepare the people.
And Dr. Udaya Kumar, how did you get started in opposing this project?
Well, when I was a college student, I used to oppose the presence of foreign naval bases in the Indian Ocean, such as the United States, Soviet Union, Britain, France, and so forth. The students who did this group were thinking that it was not in the best interest of us if something, a nuclear warfare, occurred between or among these superpowers, we would be affected drastically. So we started opposing that. And when we started opposing nuclear weapons and naval bases and so forth, automatically we were also interested in nuclear power. And when we heard that the Soviet Union was going to build a nuclear power plant in our vicinity, naturally we opposed. That's how I got involved.
And so you've been opposing it for the last
25 years now.
25 years, and that's on the cusp. Well, if people want to continue and learn more and also support the nonviolent struggle that's being led by women in India right now to stop the Kulan Kulam nuclear power plant, how can people find out more information?
Well, we have a couple of friends who are on Facebook who distribute information quite constantly. And we also have a website, dianuke.org. And that's that site has almost all the information about our struggle and updates and press releases and so forth. And on the Facebook also, you can search for Kudankulam.
Kudankulam.
K-W-O. Yes.
Go ahead. It's K-O-O.
W-O-D-A-N-K-U-L-A-M. Kudankulam.
Great. Well, thank you so much for all your work and continue the resistance and struggle. And we look forward to having you back in the future for a victory show.
Sure. That's very kind of you. Thank you for having me on the show.
All right. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
And you're tuned in to the Tierra Alerta on La Onda Bajita. I'm Tara with La Brava, and we'll be back after a short music break.